It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, folks, it is your old buddy Luke Clayton. Thanks for joining me. It's the time of the week that we talk hunting and fishing here on KETR. Every week, we've had Larry Large, our guest, many times in the past years. Larry is a storehouse of knowledge on anything to do with hunting and fishing. We're going to talk hog hunting at night, and we're going to talk about the upcoming duck hunts in this second split with Larry. Now, Larry's out in the wind. You may hear a little bit of static on the line, but the words of knowledge will be worth it, I guarantee you. Larry, thank you for being with us, man.
Hey, I always enjoy it, Luke.
You know, I thought we could best serve our listeners this week by talking about two subjects that are going on right now. The second split of the duck season, you know, we're going to talk about late season ducks first, and then you've been putting your clients on some lot of hogs. They've been very active lately. Then we'll talk hog hunting a little bit and how you do it successfully in the winter. I've been seeing a bunch of new ducks, Larry. I'm predicting this coming when the season reopens, the second split's going to be good. What are your thoughts?
Well, I've been out working, preparing duck blinds and everything else, and everywhere that I hunt, Luke, I have seen a ton of ducks. We've got a place over here at Kaufman that I guarantee you there's not room for five more ducks to land in this pond.
I've hunted there with you, Larry. That's that isolated spot up on a hill. That's it seems like it's probably 5 or 8 acres of water, and every year they fall in there. So they're in that spot real good now already, huh?
Yeah, Luke, I was out there, I guess it was yesterday morning, setting a blind up, and there had to be 400 to 500 birds on that pond. And while I was setting this blind up, of course, I spooked them all off. They turned around, came right back in. They didn't care if I was working there or not.
Well, it's like you've always said, if there's a spot they want to go to, they're going to go there, you know. And if they don't want to go there, you might as well find another place to hunt, right?
Exactly. You cannot make them go where they don't want to go. But if you find a spot where they want, you do not have to be a rocket scientist to hunt ducks.
That's it. Well, I know that you hunt out of very comfortable blinds, enclosed blinds that are portable. You can move them, and you do. You put those rascals where you take into account the sun and the wind. Kind of walk our listeners through. Say you come up on say you're not hunting big water. Say you're hunting a 5-acre lake, some pond out somewhere in the woods. When you're deciding where to put that blind, what factors, Larry, do you take into account?
Well, the first and foremost thing, Luke, is scouting. Stay way away from the tank. Get as close as you can and still have good visibility without bothering the ducks. See where they want to land, and they'll let you know where they want to be. Then when I go down, the next thing I look at, and like you said, I do use portable blinds, so I'm flexible, but the next thing is the wind direction. I want the birds, they're going to land into the wind. I want to put my blind on a north wind, maybe on one side of the pond. Tomorrow it's going to be a south wind, I'll put it on the other side. What goes along with that is you've got to watch where the sun comes up. You do not want a duck blind facing east. About 9 o'clock in the morning, your hunt's over because you can't see nothing but the sun.
You can't. I've made that mistake. Yeah.
Yeah. Those three things are what I key on, is just the scouting and wind direction. Set your blind up so they're coming into you, and watch the sun.
That's some very, very good tips. And it's things that if you know, it'll really up your success rate, because I've, through the years past, I've learned all this a lot from you. I have. And, you're right, man. You know, just at the break of day, that sun's not going to bother you, but from about 8 to 9, when it starts getting up, you can't see a duck coming in low on the deck on the water at all. So you're out of business. Well, shifting a little bit, Larry, to decoys. Say, for instance, for some reason, there seems to be a world of gadwalls. So the primary ducks that I see, seems like if there's 10 ducks, about 6 of them are going to be gadwalls the last year or two. Now, type of species of decoys? You know, most people hunt with mallard decoys. A lot of people do. Do you see a real advantage to changing up different species of decoys to put to use?
No, you know, I really don't, Luke. Uh-huh. I've got a bunch of gadwall decoys, but it's amazing when I go out and set my decoys, I always grab the mallards. I think any duck will land in mallard decoys, and I do not pay a tremendous amount of attention. I think some of these, the gadwall decoys, the Ouija decoys and all of this, I think that's more to sell the hunter than it is to sell the ducks.
Larry, I think you're right on track, too, because truthfully, I know ducks have excellent eyesight. There's no doubt about that. They have to. But when a duck's coming into a decoy setup, I'm quite sure, I mean, you know, I don't know if a duck is reasoning or what his thinking ability is, but he's probably not saying, where's that ring neck on that one? Or where's the green head? I'm not going to land if there's not a green head out there. He sees what looks like ducks on the water. And, you know, we've both had, I'm sure every duck hunter listening to us, has had teal come in, the littlest of all the ducks, come in to the Magnum mallard decoy. So I think you're right on track, Larry.
Yeah, ducks are very, very sociable. And, you know, for a long time, a lot of people, if you're hunting like where you have a lot of competition, ducks sometimes make up their mind a long ways away where they're going to land. A lot of guys were taking these beautifully painted mallard decoys and spraying them flat black. And the reason being is that ducks could see them from a farther distance.
A silhouette, a dark spot on the water.
Yeah. Exactly. But, man, you just cannot go wrong. I don't care what you're hunting if you've got mallard decoys.
Mallards, to me, are one of the most wary ducks, I think. I don't know. I think they're definitely more wary and smarter. I'm sure that through eons of cohabitating, you know, ducks, they say, hey, you know, it's safe to get with these guys. If a duck could reason, that's probably what drives them to come into those decoys. Well, let's think about, let's say we're hunting a five-acre pond, for lack of a better word, a little lake back in the woods somewhere, or out on the open country like you hunt a lot. The arrangement of the decoys, do you see that as a big factor, how you set them out?
Yeah, I really do. What I try to do, say the ducks are coming from left to right. I put most of my decoys to the far right.
Mm-hmm.
That's the big group of ducks. And I'll put six or eight, you know, to the left, leaving a large hole for those birds to land in. And where the six or eight is also where I put my mojo decoys.
Very good.
I don't put the mojos out where the big flock is, because those birds have already landed. They're congregating. I try to make a small V, like four, five, six ducks has just landed, and there's a couple more that's with them, which would be my mojos just coming in to land.
I got you, Larry. So ducks coming from the left to the right coming in, what they see is a congregation of ducks on the far side of the spread, the majority of the decoys, they're seeing that. But yet back to the left, closer to them, they're seeing some birds that might instill in them a little safety. They may say, okay, well, it's safe back here, and then all of them are over here. We'll get right in the middle. So I'm going to bet that's where your blind is situated.
Exactly, yes. My blind will be closer to the big flock than it is the small flock, because a lot of times those birds will fly right over the top of those six or eight decoys, land in the center pocket that I've left open, and boy, it's just bang, 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 bang.
It's a lot of duck hunting when you're sitting in that blind and you hear those wings whistling over. I mean, it's what makes us crawl out of a warm bed and get out in that cold temperature. But I think many people mistake duck hunting as always being a miserable affair. But it doesn't. The way you hunt them and the way I've learned to hunt them, it doesn't have to be that way, does it?
No, it really doesn't. The place I hunt over at Kaufman, you don't even need boots. I've had many a people come out in tennis shoes. I put you right in your blind. You don't get your feet wet or nothing. I do all the retrieving, all the calling, all the setting decoys and everything. And really, you don't even need a pair of waders. Now, I've got a couple spots that I do hunt that you do need waders, but the water's never over 2 foot deep.
Exactly. Exactly, Larry. Well, the good thing is that you to hunt ducks, you don't have to have an expensive duck boat. You don't have to have a retriever. You know, it's nice if you do. You don't have to. It can be a very successful sport without a lot of cash outlay. It really can. Not so much like hunting, deer hunting, a lease and all that. With some good decoys, I dare say, if you got 15 or 20 decoys and some calling is important at times, but many times, Larry, I do believe I could have left my duck call at home when I had the decoy set in the right place and shot a limit without a quack from a duck call, you know?
Well, exactly. There's a lot of people that go out. Now, it is fun to call ducks.
Yeah, oh, yes.
But if you've got ducks coming straight at you that's locked up, shut up.
That's right. Yeah.
There is no need to talk to them if they don't need to be talked to. And another very good lesson I've learned over the years, you'll have ducks flying over you and around you and everything else. Listen to them. If they ain't talking, don't talk.
Exactly. You know, Larry, there's a gadwall call. Well, Haydale makes an awesome gadwall call that I've been using for years, and you started using it yourself a couple of years ago. That thing, a gadwall will definitely come into a mallard call, no doubt about it, but that gadwall call, I have found that to be highly effective, you know, if you don't overwork it, you know.
They're really good. In a gadwall call, you don't have the vocalization from a gadwall that you have from a mallard. I mean, gadwalls basically make two sounds, and that's it. Anybody can learn to use a gadwall call. And like you said earlier, you know, gadwalls seem to be becoming our predominant duck in this area.
That's true. You know, we're about to wrap up our show, Larry. I want to tell them a recipe that you taught me maybe 20 years ago that I've told a lot of people about that makes duck. When you first told me you cook some, you grill some, you said, Luke, this is going to taste like the best filet mignon you've ever eaten. And in my mind, I said, I don't know about that. You were right. Folks, you could take a 50-50 solution of Coca-Cola and soy sauce. And I add just a little garlic powder, too. I snuck that in on you, Larry, through the...
Yeah, I know you do.
But I put a little garlic powder in there, too. And leave it... you can leave it 4 hours. You can leave it overnight. I guess the main thing, Larry, is not to leave it so long that the acid in that Coke would really break down the duck. But you put a jalapeno pepper in the we're talking filleted duck breast. One duck will make two fillets, you know, one duck breast. Put your jalapeno in there, wrap it with bacon, and grill it. Man, it's good eating. Larry, we're out of time. I guess we better go grill us some duck breast. What do you say?
I think that's in order.
Okay. Now, people that want to go duck hunting with you, Larry, or hog hunting, I want to get you back next week. You also guide hog hunts, and very successfully you guide hog hunts. How do they contact you?
The best way to contact me is 970-819-3464. That's my cell phone. I've always got it with me.
And a good website you have, too, Larry.
Yeah, huntingeasttexas.com.
Yep, huntingeasttexas.com. Would you get back next week and let's talk about hog hunting?
I'll sure do it.
Folks, that wraps up our show today. I want you to know how much I appreciate you being with us each week. I want to remind you that today's show is made possible by the Dallas Safari Club. The website for the Dallas Safari Club is biggame.org. Also made possible by the American Hunting Lease Association. You can go online to ahuntinglease.org and learn all about the American Hunting Lease Association. These folks offer liability insurance for your hunting lease. Also made possible by Sniper Hog Lights. You can go online to Sniper, hawglights.com. made possible by Texas Motor Cars in Addison, Texas, a new way to buy cars. You can go online to texasmotorcars.com. And remember, folks, you can always tune in to catfishradio.com, and there you can listen to the archive of the hour-long show that we do each week. This is with Larry Wysoon and Bill Dance. Tune in right here next week. We're going to have some more fun.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.